Joel chapter 2, just reading a few verses at the end of the chapter, starting at verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're now about to watch a 5-minute clip from the Alpha film series. So there's a lot to take in there, isn't there? There's a lot of information. But I thought it's a really good summary of the Holy Spirit then, as in the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. And as we look at that, and as we begin to learn more about who the Holy Spirit is and who the Holy Spirit was then, we recognize that it's the same Spirit that's at work in the church and in us today. And so what we learn from the past, we're able to see, well, that's who the Holy Spirit is. We're able to look at his character and what he's about in the world and in our lives. So that's what we're looking at this morning. So I want to sort of reiterate some of the things that were mentioned in the video, maybe take it at a bit of a slower pace so that we're able to get our heads around it. So the Holy Spirit, it tells us there in that film, the Holy Spirit is a person you can know. It's not just a vague kind of floaty ghost that's kind of maybe here and there. The Holy Spirit is a person you can know. Each part of the Trinity is a person. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's not that, oh, we can pray to the Father and we can know the Son through reading Scripture, but we're not really sure about the Holy Spirit. No, we can know the Holy Spirit personally in our lives. And it might be that you don't often talk about the Holy Spirit's work in your life because you might say, oh, well, you know, God's been showing me this, or I get a sense that God is telling me this. But that's really the Holy Spirit. It doesn't really matter too much what you label it, but we recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person who's active in our lives and active in the church. It tells us there in the film that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. There's that picture where the screen goes black, and it talks about that moment of creation where it says, let there be light, and knowing that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the water when there was all chaos and there was nothing, and the earth was formless. And as the earth starts to take form, and as creatures and nature and all that's around us starts to be created, and indeed human beings themselves, the Holy Spirit is at work in that creative process. So we know that the Holy Spirit is creative. And so if you're creative, if you like to make things or draw things or sing or whatever it is that's your creative endeavor, that's the Holy Spirit at work in you. That's part of God's character. Remember, we're made in God's image. And then it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came on particular people for particular tasks. And it lists some of those people. So it had Bezalel, who's given the gift of artistry to make the temple beautiful. So God, the Holy Spirit falls upon Bezalel so that he's able to create this beauty that will then help people to worship, because it points people towards God. Just as the architecture of this building with the columns and the arches are all meant to point us up towards worshipping God. So the whoever designed this and built this had the gift of the Holy Spirit in them, creating these beautiful windows and this beautiful building that helps us to focus on God. That's the reason for it. We have Gideon, the brave warrior, who's given strength. And it says in the video that often what we see in the Old Testament in a physical way, we see in the New Testament and in the church in a spiritual way. So we have spiritual strength. You might not feel very strong physically, but we can be given a spiritual strength through the Holy Spirit. And Samson, of course, with the fantastic hair. Samson, again, with strength, given strength through the Spirit. And there he's able to break free, isn't he? And it mentions a couple of quotes from the Old Testament, first being Isaiah 61, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." So this is Isaiah writing, "Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." So the Spirit comes, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, in order to proclaim good news to the poor. So the Holy Spirit is good news for the poor. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, the church, so that we can serve and love the poor. Often, I think, sometimes we think the Holy Spirit is here to give us a nice feeling when we're worshipping or, you know, when we put our hands out. But it's not about that. The Holy Spirit is here so that we can serve and love the poor. The Holy Spirit is here so that we can bind up the brokenhearted, so that we can proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And of course, these words are supremely important because they're the ones that Jesus chooses when he starts his ministry. It's here that he opens the Old Testament and reads these words. It says, "The Holy Spirit is on me so that we can do these things, so we can love the poor and bind up the brokenhearted and set those who are prisoners free." This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. And then Ezekiel, we learn that the Spirit softens hearts, that it does internal work. Ezekiel writes, words to God, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you." So this isn't that the Holy Spirit kind of hovers somewhere above us or might be at work somewhere out there. This is that God will put his spirit in us, inside of you. "I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees." So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, it helps us to stay on track with God. Each Sunday when we have our confession, we're recognizing that we've gone off track. If we imagine a sort of narrow path that we're on with God, we recognize that we've gone off that track during the week. And so what we do is we confess our sins, and we are absolved of our sins so we can get back on that track. And here it says that the Holy Spirit will help us to keep the Lord's decrees, to keep on that line, that straight and narrow with God, to keep my laws. "Then you will live in the land I give your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God." The Holy Spirit in us lets us know that we belong to God. It echoes Romans 8:16, where Paul writes, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit," as in our deep sense of who we are, "that we are God's children." The Spirit reminds us and lets us know that we are sons and daughters of God. Because as we go through life, it can often feel that we're far from God, or that we don't belong to God, or that God seems far away. But the Spirit reminds us that, no, we belong with God. We are his children. And again, this is these words about "you will be my people and I will be your God" are reflected in Revelation 21, verse 3. So this is right at the end of the Bible. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne," this is John writing, "saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" The Holy Spirit gives us a sense of identity of who we are, a sense of belonging, to know where we belong in God's family, a sense of adoption. Identity. We are God's children. We belong to him. And then we come to this morning's passage from Joel chapter 2. "And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It says here that God is going to pour out his spirit. He says, "I will pour out my spirit." So not "I will drip my spirit here and there. I'll put a little spot here and maybe a little spot there." No, it says, "I will pour out." So this implies that it's lavish, that it's being poured out upon us, upon all his church throughout the world. It's abundant. And it's also not just for a few people, like in the Old Testament where we see particular people for particular tasks. We're told here that it's for all people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. It says male and female, young and old, rich and poor, even servants. This is a big deal, particularly given the time that it was written, because we now aim for equality. It's something that we aim for and we talk about a lot, but not thousands of years ago. That servants could receive the Holy Spirit. That women could receive the Holy Spirit. That young people could receive the Holy Spirit. And we're told that what the Holy Spirit will pour out is prophecy, visions and dreams. It's about hearing from God, being connected, not having God as some kind of distant figure that we hope we can figure out what he's about, but knowing him personally, him speaking into his church through us. Also, the Holy Spirit will bring about signs and wonders, amazing happenings. And then it says blood and fire and billows of smoke, this strange, dramatic pictures. But of course, this is apocalyptic language, because this is a big deal. This isn't just something that's going to stay inside the church where we get some nice fuzzy feelings. This is something that is going to shake the world. The Holy Spirit poured out in the church so that it affects the world. And we'll be talking about that next week, of course, because when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, it doesn't stay in the little room that they're gathering in. It bursts out onto the streets. And then we come to Jesus' birth. And we find that at the point of Jesus' birth, there is a whole load of activity that the Holy Spirit is about. There's an increase in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon Mary, bringing, conceiving of Jesus and visiting Jesus. Elizabeth, John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit is at Jesus' baptism, of course, in that form of the dove. And then Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And of course, all Jesus' miracles and ministry, everything that he says and does, is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And after his death and resurrection, Jesus promises that he will send his Holy Spirit on the disciples. And of course, when they're there in that moment, when we're going to look at next week, when they're there in that room and the Holy Spirit is poured out, it's these words from Joel that they quote. Because he says, this is the moment. It was promised that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, and it's happening now. We're reminded in that video that the Holy Spirit is with us in our work, in the things that we do day to day, giving us strength and energy and creativity. At home, when we're with our friends, when we're doing ministry, when we're going about our daily lives, the Spirit is with us. In these days leading up to Pentecost, when we're in the season of Thy Kingdom Come, we're called upon to pray those words, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done, on earth as in heaven. We're called upon to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I remember a few years ago when the two archbishops first put out this call to prayer. A friend of mine who's been a vicar all his life, he's now retired, he said, I've never had a letter from the archbishops that's asked us to pray. I've had letters about safeguarding, about financial issues, but this is the first time when I've had a letter from both archbishops saying, what you need to do is to pray and get your people to pray. This is a really, really important time and a really, really important call for a revival and the renewal of the church, not just the Church of England, but all churches, God's church throughout the world. And that's what's amazing about Thy Kingdom Come Now, is that it's not just an Anglican thing, it's not a Church of England thing, it's throughout the world, and the churches across the road are involved, and the churches all around are involved. It's the people of God praying again that we would have another Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us, because that's the promise that God has for us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And it may be that for some of us, or as a church, we feel like we're only just beginning to understand what it means to be a people who are filled with your Spirit. We thank you for the reminder in the passage this morning and the passages that we've looked at that say that your Holy Spirit is poured out in order that the poor would have good news, in order that we would be good news to the poor, in order that we could bind up the brokenhearted, that we could bring freedom to those who are captive to addictions, who are captives to secularism and materialism, And Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us as your church in order that we can be that good news to the poor. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit both then and now softens our hearts. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd pour out your Spirit on us, that our hard hearts would be softened, that you would shape us internally. We thank you that you put your Spirit inside of us. And we pray that you do that work in us as individuals so that as your church, we can be your people. We can be all that you've called us to be. Not in our own strength, but in your strength. Not looking to ourselves, but looking to you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.